For the third time now, we're going to consider something that speaks of the greatness of God. We want to direct our attention in prayer times to this thought that with God all things are possible. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord, that He is able. And we're still on Abraham tonight. We have one more statement about Abraham in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. So if you would, please join me there. Hebrews chapter 11. Let me make this general announcement while we go find our place. If everybody could, when they pray, speak up, enunciate. You know what Paul said, how can we, if the bugle's indistinct, how can we rally if you pray in a tongue and no one understands? Anyway, that's just, people have been saying to me, I can't hear. I'm not saying you have to come here to pray, but just speak up. Okay. Hebrews 11, and let's start reading in verse 17. And by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise man even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Now, this touches Abraham, and we have the hint of this when we're told he was offering up his only begotten son. Let's revisit that scene in the book of Genesis. If you'd like to just have it read to you, that's fine, but this is from Genesis 21. And this is where the Lord comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, and Abraham, this is chapter 22, I'm sorry, Genesis 22. And verse 1, Abraham says, "Here I am." And he said, "Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Now, you know how it proceeds. You know how the story goes. You've heard this all your life. But I want to just draw your attention to what God says. Abraham, he says, take your son, your only son. And we'll stop for just a moment. This was the promised one. This is the one through whom the line of the covenant ran. Over in the 17th chapter, we get a number of indications of this. The Lord says, "I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you." And then the Lord said, "No." This is when Abraham says, "Why not Ishmael?" And God says, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. But my covenant, he says, I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year." This is, again, the line of the covenant running through an individual. Now, just recollect, he was not the only son, if you will, if you want to be technical about it. There was Ishmael there in the campground. But as we read, the purpose of God is not going to run through Ishmael. It's going to run through Isaac. In fact, in time, Sarah is going to say to Abraham, "Drive out this bondwoman and her son," and they are excluded. And so you've back down to this one lad there in the tents, and it's his son Isaac. Now, this is dear to the heart of Abraham, who is the friend of God. But the Lord goes on there in this 22nd chapter of Genesis and says, "Your son whom you love, Isaac." The heart, Abraham's heart, was bound up in the boy, wasn't it? This was the fruit of long waiting. It goes before the promise. We meet Abraham at the age of about 75, don't we? And the Lord says, go here and I'll give you this land and give it to your descendants. And he goes and the Lord comes to him. But I'm pretty sure he married before then. And the anxious longing of all married couples is to have an offspring. And so by the time he's 75 and nothing has come of it, you're starting to think, well, the handwriting's on the wall. Of course, the handwriting wasn't on the wall then. They didn't have that expression, but you know what I mean. They'd waited and waited and waited. The fruit of lifelong waiting. And this boy was the answer to many a prayer. And he was the joy to both parents. I like his name, don't you? Name him Laughter. Name him Laughter. He laughs. And so they named the boy Laughter. And I thought about it. You know, if something brings joy to your wife's heart, fellas, it's good in the house, isn't it? How's the phrase go? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. If mama's happy, then what? It's a whole lot easier. The whole mood. This is true for daddy. Don't let me say that the woman dictates the mood of the house. But if she's happy, if something has been given to you by God and it brightens everyone's outlook and everyone's heart, and then he deserves this phrase, your son whom you love. And this is the one that God says, offer him up, give him back, give him to me. And so with that thought, turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 11. This is the one that God says, offer up. And about that, the writer of Hebrews says, he considered that God is able. Now, there's 3 days to get to Mount Moriah from God appearing to him and to get up to that place. And the Lord shows him the mountain, go up there and offer Isaac up. It takes a while. And somewhere along in there, he's convinced of something. There's a truth that Abraham is convinced of. And, you know, he doesn't say this so much to the lads that are there with him on their journey, does he? He just says what? We're going up. We are coming back down. We're going to go up and worship, and we're going to sacrifice and pray for a while, and we are going to come back down. And, of course, his son says, well, Dad, you know, we've got the wood on my back. We've got the fire in our hands, and I'm sure you've got the knife somewhere. Where is the offering? Where is the lamb for the offering? And what does Abraham say? He says the Lord will provide for himself the lamb. Now, I love the way the writer of Hebrews brings this into focus for it, and he makes it very New Testament for us when he says that he considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead. We had a long discussion today as we tried to remember in our work at shop. Has this ever been done before Abraham's time? I mean, if you live in the days of any so many of the great scriptural heroes, they have already had God raising someone from the dead. It happened with Elijah, it happened with Elisha. It happens again, of course, in the ministry of our Lord Jesus many a time. And so by the time you get to the age of, well, the era of John Welch or even Martin Luther, they're praying for God to raise people from the dead. It's not that outrageous a thought. Well, what has Abraham got to go on here? What precedent lies before him? There is none, at least none that we know. And it's just all the more remarkable that as he considers, he realizes that this promise is not going to be destroyed by this thing that God has told him to do. This made me think of what Paul said to the Galatians. And he said this, the promise was spoken to Abraham. What I'm saying is this, the law which came 430 years later after Abraham, the law does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God. You got that? God gives a promise. 430 years later, he gives the law, and he says, no, this does not negate that. This stands. And I think Abraham had it that clear in his heart. This stands, this thing that God said. He said, he kept saying Isaac, and he named him. He gave it to us to give us this name. He said, I'll visit you, I'll visit Sarah, she'll do this. And already he's worked through this thing that God is able. God is able to do that which he's promised. We saw that last time. He is able to do this. He can give children out of barrenness. He can do this. He can do anything. As far as Abraham was concerned, God can do anything. And maybe he thought of the deadness of his own body and the lifelessness of Sarah's womb and thought, God raised up life out of that. Maybe that was the significance to him. But he comes to this conclusion, God can raise men even from the dead. Now this, we've been looking at Abraham a whole lot, and it's almost, you can't separate the man from the facts about God, can you? Because isn't that wonderful right there? God's facts are all wrapped up in his people. God's revealed in his people. He is known among his people and what he does and what accomplishes in your life and my life and our life and the life of the church. It keeps pointing back to him. So you can't extrapolate or rip these two apart. But let's think about this. What is God able to do? He is able to raise men even from the dead. Think on that. Death is described in the scripture as the last enemy. Now that's pretty final. You've seen a coffin, and there they lie. And can we bring them back? We can't, of course. And we look at that, and it just seems so utterly, utterly final. And well, is death called an enemy because of what it does to our hearts, what it does to our lives, what it does to our homes. It's just an adversary to us. But God is greater than all, and he rules over all. This realm, life and death, is in his hand and power. To Jesus are given the keys of something. Death and Hades, they belong to him, and he opens and no one shuts, and he shuts and no one opens. But let's go back. He opens and no one shuts. And so, now Abraham did not have to put this theory completely to the test, but he was willing, wasn't he? We see Abraham and his knife is up here and the lad's bound to the altar, and it's just about to swing with a killing blow, and the Lord stops him. He says, I'm just testing you. But Abraham was willing. I love this thought that Abraham says to God, let Ishmael live. And God says, no. Now God says to Abraham, let Isaac die. And Abraham says, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He will do it. He says, yes. This is the release of our best, our prized, our most cherished thoughts and wishes and hopes given to God. And the Lord is able to raise them up. I don't know how many lessons are here. I think the French would say beaucoup, right? That means a good number, a whole bunch. When you lay your Isaac in the ground, God can raise and he will raise him up. Now, let's just comfort ourselves with this thought as before we go to prayer, that there is a day coming. There is a glorious, glorious day coming. I had to comfort a young man today, one of Bob Tucker's sons, and he said, man, I've been feeling it. Today's Bob's birthday. And it was just ringing the family like this, twisting them in two. And I just shared with him a passage from some other Christian writer from the 1800s, Joseph Parker by his name. And he wrote back and said, oh, I needed this. I needed this. And it was the consolation that we shall see our loved ones again. You remember what David said? Exactly. He won't come to me, but I will go to him. And I can say that for friends, family members, loved ones, acquaintances. Every once in a while I think, who are we going to meet in the glory? And it's going to be it's going to be rough. It's going to be glorious. We'll meet Abraham. We will meet him because he is there and we will be there. How do I know that? God is able to raise men even from the dead. We'll see the thief on the cross. We'll see the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God raised from the dead and made the first fruits of all those who believe. The great, great crop that's coming. Well, this is this little drama here. In fact, if you look at the marginal reading of verse 19 in Hebrews 11, it says that he also received him back, figuratively speaking, as a type, or in a parable. Everybody likes picture stories, right? We like to think about things. We like to see them. We like a play. We like a story. We like to go to the movies. We like it worked out in front of our eyes. This is the genius behind having the Lord's Supper and having the baptism. It's a parable. And he gets to go up the mountain. He gets to see, if you will, his son slain. He gets to see God raising his son back up. And really what he sees is the Lord providing the lamb. He sees the day of Christ, doesn't he? And he receives him back as a type. There is a parable worked out for him. And Jesus said, Abraham saw my day, and he was glad. He saw it. Well, we serve the living one, who himself has authority to raise men from the dead. And is anything too difficult for the Lord? Let's pray.